just stories, just beliefs, just thoughts. I started to attach and identify with them. I started to believe they were real. And in believing these negative stories that they were real, it started to actually affect my identity and my self-belief. Because if I wasn't qualified enough, then that means I'm not good enough. And if I'm not good enough, how can I believe in myself? Ooh, that's a dangerous journey. That's a slippery slope that all of us either are on currently or have been in. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Conscious Rebel. Super stoked for this episode and hope everyone's doing well. This episode, there will be no visuals for this. Over the next couple weeks, I'm not totally sure of the schedule, but I don't think I'll be having a video for probably the next couple episodes. I'll go more into why, but there's a lot of moving pieces right now. So for the present moment, for now, this wonderful voice will have to suffice as we kind of kick it back to the old days of just doing audio recordings. With that being said, this is a really monumental episode for me because I've started to realize, again, I've said this before, but this podcast is as much for me as it is for you. I would say it's more so for me. It always was an expressive outlet for me, a place to put my thoughts, my ideas, my emotions. When I began this podcast, I was terrified, which is so funny looking back because it was a lot simpler than the future, you know, potential catastrophes that I created in my mind. But after having overcome a lot of those fears and faced those things, it's so interesting to see how for every level, there's another devil. And that is growth right there. That's personal evolution. Is that we're constantly facing our fears. We're constantly up-leveling in order to become more free, in order to become more connected to ourselves, in order to become more loving. So this is a really monumental podcast for me because I've noticed that along this arc of my podcast journey, I'm starting to become more and more transparent with my life, which is something I kind of avoided because I felt like there should be privacy there. But it's interesting because I noticed that the episodes that people resonate more with and that I actually feel more passionate about are the ones where I am more intimate, where I am more transparent, where I am able to share actually what's going on with my journey. And just as you who are listening to this are on your journey of figuring out life, of stepping more into your power, of becoming more joyful, of letting go of fears, of letting go of any beliefs or stories that are holding you back, I'm doing the same as well. You know, that I have not even come close to reaching this pinnacle of where I want to be. So it's a constant process. And if that is the case, then I've been asking myself the question, why am I not sharing more of that process? Why am I not diving deeper into some of my fears that I'm facing, my lessons that I'm learning, some of the beliefs and stories that I have become aware of that have been holding me back up until this point? And that is something that you'll notice that I'll start to dive more into as we continue further on into these different episodes. But starting now with this episode, I really want to dive into those fears and how we operate as human beings and show you the power of actually being able to face these fears strategically. If there's one thing that I've become really familiar with and at least pretty aware of is the fact that I have to face my fears. I almost got a tattoo once. I never got it. I probably will one day. But it was going to say, fear is your compass. That's something that I have lived by for the past decade of really believing that my fear is telling me exactly where I need to go. I need to go in the direction of my fears, which may seem a little contradictory for a lot of people because fears are the very things that they want to avoid. But I know that the shadows or the gifts, you know, are hidden within the shadows. The gifts are hidden within the fears. And we have to face those fears head on in order to unravel those and realize that fear really is an illusion. It's not real. We create a scenario in our head. Take it back, you know, many years to when I was beginning my podcast. I had this fear that just drowned me. And I was so scared of how people would perceive me and how my voice would come across. And I was scared that people would think I was egotistical for starting a podcast and point fingers. You know, who are you to speak from a mantle of authority and you struggling in your life and going through all this darkness? You're not an expert. You're not qualified. And on and on and on, the voice in my head went. That's why I postponed it so much, because these fears were so real. The irony is that no one was actually thinking that. No one was perceiving that. The fear wasn't real. It was in my head. I was creating all these future potentials of what I thought would happen, but they weren't real. It was just my imagination. It was just me jumping into all these different future timelines of a possibility, although a bleak one, still a possibility one within my head. It wasn't real. So once I actually started the podcast, and I actually saw the opposite effect, I saw people that respected me more. I saw people that supported me. I saw people that were able to reach out to me and be like, thank you for this. This helped me with this. And I've been feeling the same way. And just this avalanche of support, which was the complete opposite of the fears I was creating in my head, which goes to show that these fears aren't real. They're illusions. And the reason why we have these is so that the ego can survive. The fears come from ego, and fears come when you're in survival mode. If we do not have fear, the ego dissipates. It's how the ego stays alive. Remember, the ego isn't real. We talk about it as if it's real, but it's not some organ in the body. It's not your brain. It's the mind. The ego is an illusion. It creates these beliefs around yourself in order to protect yourself from going beyond what's familiar. It protects you from possible quote-unquote failure or actually not being good enough. So it keeps you small in order that the ego can stay alive and these stories can continue to replay. But once you face this fear head-on, these fears just shatter and they fall away because they're nothing but thoughts. And when you go head on into these fears, you discover more and more potentiality and more gifts that were always there and that were always available for you. There is a quote that I want to read by Peter Crone. Let me see if I can find it. I didn't look this up beforehand. It just came to my mind, where he is talking about freedom. Let's see if I can pull this up pretty quick. So he says, life will reveal where you yourself as a being do not experience freedom. Life will present you with people and circumstances to reveal where you are not free. That right there is the name of the game. When I had my ayahuasca experience, that was the whole entire theme of this ceremony for 12 hours straight was, do you have the courage to face the truth? Can you face the truth? Can you move through all of your fears that are attacking you, through all these limiting beliefs, all these stories, and actually face the truth? Because the truth will set you free. So life will present you with people and circumstances to reveal where you're not free, to reveal where you're being tied down, where you're giving power away, where you're being restrained. And these things are coming up so that you can face them head on in order to step into that and become more free by letting go. Every single year, I pick a word. I pick a theme for that year. I don't really set New Year's resolutions, but I pick a word very intuitively that I feel like is going to embody the energy of that year. And every year, it's uncanny how accurate it is, because as intuitive beings, we can really tap into some of the lessons we're about to go through and some of the things that we're about to face within that year. And when I set my theme for this year, I was a little obstinate towards it because it felt a little boring to me. It also kind of felt a little scary because I didn't know if I was, you know, almost bringing this towards myself and manifesting it if I set that word. But the word that kept coming to my mind or phrase was letting go. It just constantly, over and over, when I would try to think of other words, I'd be like, oh, my word's going to be abundance or love. And it was like, no, your word's going to be letting go, because that's actually what you need to do. You need to learn how to let go. And in the beginning of the year, I had no clue really what that meant. Like, the act of surrender is a little vague. It's a little cryptic. It's hard to talk about. And it's something you don't really fully understand until you're in the thick of it and you have to actually surrender and let go. And little did I know at the beginning of the year, now that we're all the way mid-August, that letting go would be much more internal than external. And letting go was about letting go of stories and fears and beliefs that I have been unaware of that have been holding me back, that have been holding me back from realizing my ideal future. Now, what is that ideal future? There's a grand vision of certain things that I want to accomplish. But at the end of the day, the thing that brings me the most joy, that brings me the most passion, is when I work with people. People are like the energy, the life force that keep me alive, because I believe so much in community. The world is so blah without people. Like, people are what make life interesting to me. It's why I love travel, because everywhere I travel, I'm not a tourist traveler. I really get into the local scene, and I live with some of the locals. I travel with locals. I meet different locals. I do different retreats or ceremonies, or like, I'm very present with the country that I'm in. And the reason for that is because I really believe that people have so much to bring to the table. We just have to have the patience to actually listen to then understand. And to understand is to forgive. But by understanding people more, we start to actually realize that humans are inherently good. Our natural state, I really believe, is goodness. It's happiness. It's joy. It's abundance. I think that's our natural state. But because so many people are in survival and fear, they don't get the opportunity to express that, because they're trying to make money because they believe they don't have enough. They're trying to make more friends and connections because they believe they're so alienated and that people don't see them and they don't feel seen or heard, because as a child, they weren't seen or heard and they were neglected. And the list goes on and on. And all these beliefs that we create in our mind and the meaning that we attach to things, you know, let's say you create the meaning that, you know, your father wasn't there enough for you as a child because he was always at work. And so you believe that with men, you can't fully be seen and it's not safe. Or maybe you were in an abusive household, whatever it is, you grow up innocently, something happens to you, and you identify with that. You believe that your parents getting a divorce was because you were a burden or because you weren't good enough. And if you would have been a better kid, then your parents could have stayed together and there could have been love in the home. And you don't know how to step outside of that awareness, outside of that mind, outside of that ego as a child. So you naturally just attach and identify with it. And you label yourself as the problem, because that's the only thing you know is you. And you're connected to everything around you. And so this creates a whole avalanche of effects throughout the rest of your life that really affect you on the surface level. And we try to address the symptoms, we try to address the behaviors, but the problem isn't the behaviors, it's the root cause of the belief and the meaning that we have attached to things around our identity and who we believe we are. Again, it will always come back to our perception of ourselves. We all have a distorted perception of who we are. And because you believe you aren't good enough or loved enough or pretty enough or whatever enough, then you can't do X, Y, and Z. Really at the core, when you're saying, you know, I'm not qualified enough to do this or to do that or to go for it, what you're saying is I'm not good enough. It's at the very core of it. And these beliefs hold us back from so many things. And the crazy thing is, these aren't things we need to like rewire. These aren't things we need to like go to all this work and do these affirmations. All we actually have to do is let go, because we have to realize that the belief that I'm not good enough isn't actually real. You don't have to try then to become good enough, because you always were. The belief of I'm not good enough isn't true. It's an illusion. It's the ego. It's a lie. So all we have to do is actually let it go. Now, letting it go is the tricky part, because we first have to become aware that that belief is even there. And it's so familiar to us that in letting it go, we're letting go of the comfort, of the belief that keeps us stuck where we are now. And this is the position I found myself in this year, which was really interesting. I thought I had done so much internal work. I thought I had done so many things to be at this quote unquote level where it's like, I understand and I'm able to do this and teach this and work with people and I would meet up with people and be able to say things and work through things with other people and we would have these breakthroughs and it was incredible. And then I come back home and it's like, there's still like these things that are like pestering me. And we are like onions. It's just layer after layer after layer of constantly moving through these things. And unbeknownst to me, to teach me the great lesson of letting go, I soon found myself stuck in fear. I found myself frozen. At the time, I wasn't aware of it. I couldn't really see it. But now looking back, now that I've made certain action steps to move past that fear, now I can see how it was really holding me back, and I was literally stuck in a position of freeze. Now I'm going to pause this story and I'll continue on kind of my personal situation of how I got out of that and the big step I'm taking towards realizing my ideal future. But I want to double click on this and go deeper now into fear, go deeper into survival mode. Survival mode is really, really interesting. And as of the past couple of weeks, as I've been thinking about this is, I've been thinking about it from a completely different perspective. We use the term survival mode so much now that it's gotten a little blurry, the definition, and we've also become almost immune to it. It's like, haha, yeah, I'm in survival mode. But I don't know if we're fully actually embodying and realizing what that means. We as humans, when we're in survival mode, it's not just for instances, for the majority of people. It's not just when you go home, your wife says something, it triggers you, you kind of feel that reaction, right? And you go into fight or flight. That's survival mode. And then you think that once that is worn off, it's done. You're out of survival mode. But the truth of it is, if you really look at most people's lives and maybe your own, most people are in survival mode constantly. It doesn't shut off. You never leave survival mode. So it's not just when you're triggered, but your whole life is in survival mode. And that's why we're constantly reacting to all these different things and constantly filled with fear. If you feel fear, you're in survival mode. It's the only way you can feel fear. You cannot be in a state of thriving and connected to your higher self in a state of joy. And you can't be in these higher vibrations and feel fear. It's not possible. It's physics. It's frequency. Fear is a lower emotion, which only exists in survival mode. So if you feel fear in your life, and this can be anything, this can be fear of a conversation that you need to have. This can be a fear that you feel stuck or that you feel left behind. This can be a fear of being alone. This can be a fear of asking for that promotion. This can be a fear of quitting your job. This can be a fear of you feel like you're not making enough, or you feel like you're not organized enough, or maybe this is a fear of moving away out of your house because you're stagnant. Maybe this is relationships that you need to initiate or to cut off. Maybe it's a fear of setting boundaries. It can be anything. The fears are exhaustive, the list that we face on a day-to-day basis. If you are feeling fear at all, you are in survival mode. So once we accept that, just accept that, instead of resisting it, which will only make it persist, you have to first accept and figure out, are you in survival mode? If you're not, wonderful. If you are, then really listen to this. If you feel that fear, I want you to get really granular about it now. When you feel that fear, and to do this properly, you need to think of a specific example recently, within the past 3 days, where you've been triggered. What has triggered you? Whether it was a tiny small trigger and reaction or a big one and a big blow up, what happened when you got triggered? Was it something someone said? Was it something you have to do? Was it something you're not doing? Where did you get triggered? Now look at that trigger and be aware and conscious of your reaction to it. How did you react? There's three different options when you go into survival mode: fight, flight, or freeze, the three F's. Fight, flight, or freeze. What was your reaction? Did you attack it head on and someone said something, so you argued even more and you started to resist it and you started to get into it and become defensive? All of that's fighting. Did you shut down? Did you kind of like avoid it? Did you try to not say the conversation? Did you ghost that person because you didn't want to have the conversation? Ghosting, all that, that's flight. That you're avoiding the fear that you don't want to face. And then freeze is you're stuck. You're indecisive. You don't make a decision. You don't act. You start to really doubt yourself. You start to doubt your self-worth and you just don't move. You're unresponsive to anything. You don't take responsibility for those decisions. That's freeze. So what is your reaction to fear, to the trigger? Because the trigger, right, is just showing you where you have fear. But the real root of what we want to attack here is the fear. So what is your reaction to it? Is it fight, flight, or freeze? Once you know what your reaction is, that will tell you how to then overcome and face and embrace that fear. If your reaction is to fight, and keep in mind, these are pretty consistent. So if your reaction in one trigger is to fight, your reaction in the next trigger most likely is not going to be to freeze. Over a kind of a conglomerate, if we take the average, you're going to have just one of these triggers that's just consistent for you internally. It's the way that you react. Either most of the time you're fighting, you're avoiding, which is flight, or you're freezing. Which one is your dominant reaction? If your dominant reaction is to fight, to just resist everything, to be defensive, to just like grind more, to push more, to willpower it through. If your reaction is to fight fear, then the answer to this, to overcoming it, is actually to surrender and let go. If your reaction is flight, where you just want to avoid, you don't want to face that fear, then the answer is more presence and acceptance. And if your reaction is freeze, then the answer to freezing when you face fear is fearless action and self-belief. And depending on which dominant reaction you have, you can then start to focus on the antidote rather than the fear to really shift and alchemize that fear within you. And this is how you strategically face your fears to create more sustainable change, 1% every day. I'm not talking about massive changes here. You don't have to hard pivot and change your whole entire life. This is little changes each day of starting to become more aware of your reactions, starting to become more aware of where you're in survival mode, how you're reacting, and then the antidote diving into that. If you find yourself becoming defensive, take a deep breath and surrender to it. Let go. Let go of the conversation. Let go of your need to be speaking. Let go of whatever you need to let go of that's fighting and try to sink deeper into the safety of yourself. If you find yourself avoiding that conversation that you need to have, figure out how to accept reality as it is. Stress happens when the mind resists what is. When it is raining, the problem isn't that it's raining. It's that you think it shouldn't be raining, right? The moment in front of you is not bothering you. You are bothering yourself about the moment in front of you. It's all happening within the mind. So if you're avoiding certain things and you're really flighty and you're ghosting people, you don't want to have that combo, you're kind of avoiding, you're escaping, learn how to be more present. And the key to being more present is accepting reality as it is right now. Just fully accept it, and there will be a pressure that's kind of released as you learn how to be more present. And if you're stuck in freeze, which is what I was stuck in for like the last 2 months trying to face certain decisions, then the antidote is fearless action and self-belief, of realizing that your perception of yourself of who you are and what you are capable of is distorted. And you need to shift your state, shift your self-belief. And there's several ways that I've talked about that you can do this and start to take small steps towards fearless action. If there's anything that I've learned from learning these lessons and really thinking into survival mode and fear these past few months, it is that you have to ignore the world. You have to take back your attention and energy and focus it on becoming your highest joyful self by intentionally living a devoted life towards facing the truth. We must face the truth, and the truth is hidden within the fears. We must turn around directly, face our fears, and step into it. Step into the shadows. The treasure that you seek lies in the cave you fear to enter. We must face our fears. That's where the truth is. And there's certain techniques for that, which I just went over. The letting go, the presence, the acceptance, the fearless action, the self-belief. You are the one that still has to do the work. But by reframing your mind and realizing that it's just fear. Fear is an illusion. It's happening all within your mind. And the facing the fear as you actually face it, 99.9% of the time is not as bad as you made it out to be in your head. We are here to become fully free, to become untethered, to be more awake, to be more connected to love. And the only thing standing in the way is fear. Fear is like this little like cork that's bobbing on the top of the ocean. Abraham Hicks has talked about this. And we grab that cork and we pull it underwater and we push it underwater and we're resisting and we're pushing it further and further down. Now, if we want this cork to pop back up to the surface, what do we have to do? Do we have to hurry, like try and really push it back up to the surface? Do we have to shout affirmations at it? It's like, I am enough, I am good, you can float. And do we have to struggle and really try to get this cork that we pulled down all the way to the top? No, we just have to let go. And the cork naturally bobs back up to the top. That's our higher self. Our natural state is at the top, our joyous state. All we have to do is let go of the things that are holding us down and surrender and accept what is to then rise to the top and step more into a higher connected self. Fears keep us from being fully present. We're living in our mind, not actually here in reality. Fears keep us from being fully present. So now come full circle back to my story. I had been in the state of freeze for the last couple months without even being aware of it. That everything that I'm telling you right now on this episode is lessons I've learned in the past few weeks about fear, as I've really contemplated fear and survival mode and how it operates within our lives. And I've started to realize that I was actually stuck. I was taking no action, not making any decisions that needed to be made. And it was starting to actually chip away at my self-belief, which was really scary for me because self-belief is so empowering to me. It's one of the things that we have that keep us, that keep our light on, that help us to really believe in ourselves, right? Like it's everything. We can't do anything great in this life unless you have self-belief. You have to bet on yourself. So when your self-belief starts to get challenged, that's kind of a really scary feeling. And the reason why my self-belief was starting to get challenged is because I was allowing the fear to sink deeper and deeper into me within my mind. Again, it was an illusion, but I was letting it make its home within my mind. I wasn't putting my foot down and drawing a line and taking the action to like face my fear and to face the truth. And the truth of it is that fear is there to teach us. That's why it's our compass. It's there to show us where we're not free. And where I wasn't free is within a lot, I'm not going to say a lot of areas, it's one area of my life, which is this transition from going from playing small to playing really, really big. And that leap was terrifying to the inner part of me. It went all the way back to my pre-podcast days, all the way back to childhood of like, if you really let your light shine and if you stand big, you'll be perceived in a really negative way by others. And those stories and beliefs started to come back up and play themselves within my mind. And instead of creating space and stepping outside of those and realizing them for what they are, just stories, negative beliefs, illusions that the ego is playing in order to keep me safe, by keeping me in the familiar, by keeping me from taking action, that fear then set in deeper and deeper until I just froze, till I was in complete surrender mode. And it took really being gritty and rigorous about facing these fears to snap out of that and move past that, because the fears may set in, but one thing that won't happen with me is that I will not eventually just bend over. I will give everything I have to face every fear I have and every challenge before I leave this life. It's not possible in me to just retreat. I have to give everything I have. So at one point is the fears grew so much and so intense. It was like, there's something I am missing here. There's something I am not looking at. And it's because I was frozen. I just couldn't move because the fear had gotten so big. So there was something I had to do in order to shift my state. And when you're in freeze, the antidote, like I said, is fearless action and self-belief. I needed to take a big step. And for me personally, at the phase that I was at, that was taking a really big step and a really big investment towards bridging that gap from playing small to playing big. I have always gotten the most joy, like I said, from working with people. It's what lights me up. I love people. It's fun. It's diverse. I think people are like circuses. They're like carnivals. They're like mazes to me. Like, I really look at humans like that. They're so intriguing to me. If you ask the right questions, you can pull things out of people that they've never shared before. How is that possible? Everyone's living within their own world within their mind. It's called cosmopoiesis. It's the act of building a world within their mind that they put out to the public. Every individual is also living in their own world. We just don't see it because they don't share it. But what if you could tap into that world? What if you could get inside somebody's head and figure out what that world is and share that world with them? That's what I love doing. I love getting inside people's heads to figure out how they tick, how they operate, what motivates them, what pushes them. So I knew pretty early on that for me, whatever I did vocation-wise and career and devoting my life to, it would be with people. It'd be directly working with people. For this season of my life, that's naturally led into coaching. But really, it wasn't something I took too serious, because it was like, this is something I kind of just enjoy, but I don't want to go full-time into it because of X, Y, and Z, which was really just excuses, and it was fears. It was a lot of negative beliefs holding me back. You know, such as, if you really actually step full time into coaching, who are you to do that? Who are you qualified to do that? People are going to think you're egotistical. Look how many shitty coaches are out in the world today that shouldn't be coaches. Is that going to be one of you? And these stories, this started to come up within my mind. And instead of realizing that they were just that, just stories, just beliefs, just thoughts, I started to attach and identify with them. I started to believe they were real. And in believing these negative stories that they were real, it started to actually affect my identity and my self-belief. Because if I wasn't qualified enough, then that means I'm not good enough. And if I'm not good enough, how can I believe in myself? Ooh, that's a dangerous journey. That's a slippery slope that all of us either are on currently or have been in. And to be able to catch this slippery slope and look back on it and pull myself out of it and move forward is really eye-opening to me. It's really enlightening to catch these stories and beliefs in real time. And this is the process of becoming more awake. It's becoming aware of these beliefs and stories that play within our mind that we actually believe are true. And they're not. It's the ego that's tricking you, because the ego is just trying to keep you safe. That's its only job. So if I take a massive move towards coaching, I do a big investment, I bet on myself, I take a massive leap. Ooh, that's scary. It's all unpredictable. None of it's familiar. That's life-threatening for the ego. It has to keep me safe. And the only way my ego can keep me safe is if it keeps me in the familiar, because then it can predict. It can predict everything I do when I wake up, everything I say, where I go, who I'm around. I'm safe. And the ego does its job. But safety does not equal growth, and it sure as hell does not equal happiness. So I had to break out of those for me because I was in freeze by taking fearless action. And for me, that was joining the best coaching group on the planet. And when I say coaching group, I mean a school, an academy. I will be starting, actually I already started this week, but this podcast will be coming out, you know, on Wednesday. I started at this academy called Enlifted Academy. And they take in, they only do these groups, you know, every few months or so. And they only take 10 people into this academy. And when I had the thought of joining this, I was actually terrified. It is a big financial investment, but more so this school is terrifying because it's full of elite people. We're talking like Olympic athletes, you know, high level, different coaches that work with massive, you know, Fortune 500 companies and the UFC and, other visionaries and gurus and just so many qualified people that are a part of this Enlifted team. And there's only about 350 Enlifted coaches throughout the world. And somehow this came into my resonance and I started thinking about it and looking into their stuff and I was just called towards it. I couldn't stop not thinking about it. And it was something that was just pulling me. And the more pulled I was towards it, the more fearful I got, because this is very, very different from anything I've ever done. I've started many businesses before. I've been a part of many startups. And here's the interesting thing about businesses. I've had successful businesses, and I've also had a lot of businesses and startups that have failed. But here's the interesting thing about business is it creates space from the identity. If I start a company and the company fails, I can project onto certain things externally outside of me. I can say, well, the business failed because my partner, right? I can kind of shift blame. The business failed because the economy wasn't so great. The business failed because our market kind of switched up, you know, the products, shipping and logistics, China, you know, took too long. They took an extra 10 weeks, so we didn't have the inventory. I can go on and on, right? I can just project blame and keep anything away from me. But in coaching, I am the business. It is me. So if it fails, if I fail, I am a failure. And that core belief that many people have, which isn't true, but this illusion that the ego plays that if it fails, you are a failure. And not only are you a failure, you're a failure in front of the world, right? And these stories, it starts to concoct. And so as this opportunity came up, which was interesting, it was showing me where I had fears that were holding me back to join this coaching team. All these fears started to come up. All these stories started to play. All these beliefs started to come up, but I wasn't fully aware of them. I was identifying with them. I was attached to them. So I couldn't fully see them. So I actually started to believe these stories. And there was many more, like, you know, I enjoy the finer things of life. I want to live a good life. So it was like, oh, I don't know if I can make the money that I want to make coaching. I don't know if it went on and on, the excuses and the fears. So much so, and I wasn't taking action, that I froze. And that's how I got myself into this position. And the only way to get out of this position was to take fearless action. So I applied for this school, not really knowing what was about to come. And now here we are, months later, I got in and I started this week. And it's one of the most rigorous programs out there for this. And before they even begin to teach you different dynamics of working with people and the mind and psychology, this Enlifted specializes specifically on words. On words, how words create stories and stories create reality. And they teach you, these experts, how to literally get inside people's heads to use their words to recraft different realities. And before you can do that, they begin with you, and they tear you apart psychologically and get into your mind and take apart your different stories and beliefs that you play. And you have to come to the table naked, fully vulnerable, and just let everything out on the table, anything, and be fully transparent in order to purge yourself to then be able to hold space for others. And so by taking that massive action, not just in facing the fears, but like a lot of other fears that came up with it as well, what is so interesting is that now starting this school this week, which I'm so stoked for, which is a massive step towards me working fully now with people and with coaching. And this is just one of several other things that I'll be doing. But it is so interesting how, even though some of those fears are still there, because I'm not deep into it yet, the main fear that was keeping me frozen, keeping me stuck, is completely gone. It's dissipated because I took action, and my self-belief now is through the roof, because by taking action, I then proved to myself not only were those stories not true, but even if they were, I have the strength and the capacity and the willpower and the wherewithal to be able to face these things head on, because I am strong. And we have to take action in order to create a stack of undeniable proof that what we are doing is actually real. And so now I sit here recording this episode, looking back at all these fears that were plaguing me, that were just illusions within my mind, and that were holding me back from being free, from being more untethered, from really doing what I loved. But if I wouldn't have faced those fears and taken action, I would not be where I am now. I would not be taking these steps towards my ideal future, which is to run a very successful, you know, coaching business, to be working with people one-on-one and not just be running online coaching, you know, different methods and practices, but to innovate entire systems and communities that can bring more grounding and body and embodiment and integration towards people, that can help people to face fears head on, so that we can loosen our seriousness and be able to have more joy in our lives. That's my ultimate goal. Like, I want to make life lighter for people. I think life is really, really heavy for most people. It was for me at one point. It still is at times, but it doesn't need to be. And I know that. I know that anthropologically. I know that deep in myself that life isn't meant to be heavy and it doesn't need to be. And so I want to specifically work with people, but innovate systems to where we can bring people through to where we can actually loosen that burden and teach people how to ground more, teach people how to actually strategically face fears, not just like, oh yeah, face your fears, but like strategically face it in a practical way that you can actually rely on, so that there's some certainty there, so you're not as scared as you move through that fear. And to create communities and wellness retreats for people to be able to come through to shift this energy. But it starts here with this one big step. And this big step will lead to another big step. And that big step will lead to a few more small steps. And those small steps will lead to another big step. And this is how we progress. And we spiral upwards in this ascension process as we grow and evolve more in facing all our fears that are holding us back from being truly free in who we are. So I hope that this gives you a more granular and zoomed in perspective of how I still face fears on a continuous basis. But the importance is recognizing that these fears aren't real, and that these stories and beliefs that you're hanging on to, you don't need to hang on to. You can let them go. They don't need to plague you. And if you can determine what your dominant response is to fear, to survival mode, whether it's fight, flight, or freeze, you can then strategically figure out how to respond to that fear to then move through it, pick up the gift in that lesson, and then move on to the next level. This is how life works. And when we get more familiar with this process and we put in the reps and we do it more and more, it becomes easier. It becomes smoother. We're still facing fears, but now we know how to do it. It's like playing a game for the first time that you can't figure out versus playing for the 1,000th time. Your body just kind of knows it, and you know what you need to do, and you're still in it, you're still feeling it, but it's a lot smoother. And that's my goal for people listening to this, is to help you, give you the tools and the processes and just the vision for another way to do these things. And it's been super helpful for me. It's been extremely powerful to be able to become aware of these beliefs, of these stories that have been holding me back, to then push those to the side, face the fear, take the fearless action, which only makes me believe more in myself so that I can be in my higher self to then assist others on their journey. We can't help others until we fully help ourselves. Love you guys. Peace.